the internet has taken on an even larger role in work and play alike during the COVID-19 pandemic. WCBU's Tim Shelley spoke with Paul Cronin, CEO of East Peoria-based i3 Broadband, about how they handle that increased demand and the company's growth.
Sure. I mean, certainly the internet, since its inception, has been important to our economy and other facets of life. But I think the whole pandemic just accentuated that and just further brought it to light. And in fact, what we're seeing now is, you know, demand and usage go up because now you've got both, in many cases, both mom and dad or both parents in the home working from home. You've got the children doing their schooling from home. So the consumption is just really going through the roof, and the dependency on broadband to get the education and work and every other environment done. So it really has, you know, as I said, accentuated the importance of broadband in terms of a driver of education and driver of business.
So how do you handle all of that extra capacity? Does that put a load on your ability to deliver at all, or do you have to make adjustments, extra bandwidth, things like that?
Well, thankfully, our company is building fiber optics right to the home. And so the capacity is not an issue. I mean, we're offering speeds of 1 gig symmetrical, 1 gig up, 1 gig down, which is not common in the marketplace today with the incumbent providers. And, you know, the new networks we're building are 10 gig capable up and down. So we have not seen the strain on our network, but we have heard loud and clear from our consumers that they appreciate the capacity. And, you know, so many devices are connected in the home, as you know, whether it's your little phone device, your tablets, and go on the list. I mean, some people have 100 devices connected in their homes. So we have not seen the strain on our networks because, again, it's fiber directly into the home.
What's it take to run a fiber optic network like that? Because I understand i3 is running their own fiber optic cable, right?
That's correct. We're constructing and building our own network, and there's a long process from start to finish in terms of the planning and coordination. Getting the right permits and rights of way. Most of our plant, with the exception of the Northeast, is underground. So again, getting the permitting and rights of way usage is important. You know, materials ordering, and you know, that's another issue we'll probably talk about in terms of the impact on supply chain and materials and what that's meant for our construction. But again, it's a very detailed process that you know, we've got down pat. We're in just under 100 communities at this point and growing quickly. We'll add another just under 20 more communities this year. So we've got a good plan and kind of rhythm to our construction at this point.
I was going to say, where all do you serve? I know you're here in the Peoria area. You're also, I believe, down in Jacksonville and over in Champaign. And I think you got a presence in like Rhode Island as well.
Yeah, we have a presence in Rhode Island. We've got a presence, as you just cited, in Central Illinois area. We're also building over in St. Charles County outside of St. Louis as well. So I would say Central Illinois is kind of the hub and where it all got started, but we're rapidly and quickly expanding in St. Charles and in the St. Louis markets as well.
How do you decide what kind of areas or markets are viable for fiber optics?
Yeah, it's a very, you know, thoughtful due diligence that we do to make sure that, you know, the fiber that we build will get well received by the community and get folks to sign up. And so we look at a number of factors. We look at, you know, number of homes in the community because it costs a lot to get fiber there. And so certainly we want to make sure that, you know, is the home base there to support the business. But it really ranges. I mean, we are not trying to be exclusionary in terms of the right or the wrong demographics. I think if the population is there and the demand is there, and I think you probably know from your own experience that broadband is vital to all pieces of the population and cuts across all demographics. And so we've got a business plan to serve all the different parts of the community. So,
and you mentioned this a little bit earlier, I wanted to circle back to it, but you mentioned materials being an issue, and we hear about all those supply chain things and, you know, the news. How's that affecting you at i3?
Well, we have to be more thoughtful in our planning and get out in front of things earlier than we historically have. So to the extent that we've got construction plans 18, 24 months out that, You know, historically, you wouldn't have to worry about order cycles for fiber and conduit and all the other things. It's just required us to, again, be a little bit more thoughtful, get those orders in earlier. I mean, depending on the materials, you know, it could take 9 months to a year backlog in some situations. And so it has not affected us to this point. We've been, we've gotten out in front of that. We've got materials in our yard ready to go for our 22 construction plans. So it has not slowed us down. But it has required us to, again, be more aggressive and a little bit earlier on our ordering cycle.
You got to be a lot more thoughtful about, I've got this project coming up in 8 months and I need to get this stuff ready for it now.
Exactly. And you just got to be willing to sit on some more inventory. Probably the just-in-time delivery method is not going to work in this environment right now.
And I know broadband, you mentioned just it's important to every aspect of our economy, really. But I know it's been both a focus of the governor's capital package and then also with the federal infrastructure bill just passed. How do those things affect you? Do those present new opportunities for you to expand or grow?
It does. There's the federal programs. There's state programs. There's even city programs out there. There's even private public partnerships that we're talking to. So there's a lot of interest and there's a lot of money available for the expansion of broadband per the president's plan and goals. You know, we have some very, I think, positive partnerships in the case of Jacksonville, Illinois, in the case of Champaign, Urbana, Illinois. We've got partnerships. We're talking to the newly elected mayor of Peoria, Mayor Ali, about opportunities as part of her economic development program to partner with the city on some things. And so it's really finding the right partnership that meets the needs of the community and as well as the companies. We're not reliant on any type of funding to construct, but to the extent that there are good partnerships out there that, you know, meet the community's needs, we've talked to a lot of communities, we've done a lot of partnerships, and we'll continue to be open to them. A lot of the federal dollars we have not necessarily tapped into. They are appropriately targeting rural areas that just don't have any broadband access at this point. And so I think rightfully so, those dollars to get into the more rural communities, which, again, that's a wise investment.
Yeah. What are some of the challenges, I guess, of getting out in the rural communities? Because I-3 is mainly more of urban-centric, but can you talk just generally about what some of those challenges might be?
Yeah. I mean, in the case of suburbia or urban, I mean, you're talking density of, you know, 40, 50 or more homes per mile. Out in the more rural communities, as you know, there just aren't that many homes or farms or in between the distances. So you're building a lot of fiber optic plant to pass, you know, relatively few homes. And so the cost is far greater in terms of the return on that kind of, on that investment. And I think that's why, the federal government is wisely looking to how they incentivize companies to get out into those rural areas and to make sure, you know, despite living in, you know, not very populated areas, they have the same access to broadband as people that live in the cities and suburbia.
That's I3 Broadband CEO Paul Cronin talking to Tim Shelley about increased internet demand and his company's response to it. You can find Tim's story at wcbu.org.